9. The Gemara ultimately concludes that, fundamentally, there's no difference between Gittin and everything else. We'll see as we move forward that there might be a difference between Gittin and Kiddushin and other things, but for other reasons. But that we're dealing with the problem of, Takana Mishum Tznuos and Mishum Prutzos. That's where the question of Afkeinu and Divrei Sofrim comes into play, and that's not for today. But Agav, the Gemara had raised some important possible distinctions regarding Onus Bitnai applied to Gittin, but obviously having roots in a more general problem. So the Gemara's classic case is a case, as we discuss, of Imlo Basi Ad Shloshim Yom, right? Hareza Gitech, and the Lo Ba occurs, but it occurs because of an onus, right? And the most dramatic case, I think we all agree, is the Chazidasai case, where the guy is gesticulating, excitedly or madly, as the case may be, and saying here I am, but really. The question is whether that counts or not. But that's the case, that's the kind of cases that we're dealing with in the Bavli right here, which means that there is a kiyum hatnai al yedei sheva al tase, put it that way, kiyum hatnai al yedei sheva al tase be'ones. He doesn't want there to be a kiyum hatnai be'sheva al tase, that's what I mean by be'ones. And the question is whether or not that works. The Gemara seems to say that fundamentally, if not for the takana of prutos and snuos, that would not work. It's kiyum atnai v'shev al tasa, even though it's maybe v'shev al tasa, al yedei ones, right, lo shema kiyum atnai. Or if it is kiyum atnai, it doesn't have the effect that kiyum atnai has in this case. That's what emerges from the Gemara. What we saw so far was that the Gemara itself suggests several factors that may play a role here. One is Onicha de Tipa, Nichale rather de Tipa Kami Yavam, right? Lo Nichale that it should be not a Kiyum Atnai because we don't want that she should be Tipa Kami Yavam. We prefer a get under the conditions where he dies. So that's one factor. Now, again, structurally, there's no difference between that case and other cases, but the difference is presumably in the umdana, right? Then the Gemara has another possibility, and that is ones d'shchiach and havale la'asnuye ihu d'afsid anafshe. So that too seems like it's not a structural factor; it's a pragmatic one, right? Now again, if you take the view that lo shma ones or lo shma ones la'inyan davarzeh. So then it ends up being, kind of structural. The question is, when we say onus shchiach havle lasnuya yu da'afsa shei, are we making a statement really about the quality, legal quality or formality of ones, or are we just saying that, somehow, just like it sounds a little bit like in Onicha, the tipo kamayabam, that despite the formality, there's something else at play, namely the umdana demuchach of what he really, really, really was interested and wanted in this particular case. So basically, that got us to to take a step back and just to note that in general, do we have this phenomenon that sometimes umdana, right, will play a role in notwithstanding, the institution of tanaim. And what I tried to explain was that, this is a big discussion in the Rishonim. Although the discussion in the Rishonim is a little bit different than the discussion here, and we haven't yet noted. The discussion in the Rishonim is if there is something called Mishpatei Tanaim, there are rules regarding effective Tanaim, and Ad Kedei Kach, and you have to remember this is what we're going to explore in just a minute, Ad Kedei Kach, that if the Mishpatei Tanaim are not implemented properly, then we say HaMaisa Kayam V'HaTanai Batel, which is a bit of a shocking thing, then the question is, does umdana play any role in that? In other words, if you didn't properly formulate the tanaim, but pretty much, we're confident that we can penetrate his real will or das, intent, so what happens then? And that's the whole sugya of Haiman Deboi Lemesek Le'eretz Yisrael, right? And he articulates that, and he ends up not being able to do so. There seems to be a huge machlokas Rishonim in the Bali Tosis already, whether or not Again, we definitely say on the one hand, the Dvarim Shebleiv Einam Dvarim. At the same time, you know, if you can get beyond the Dvarim Shebleiv, because he did articulate that, but he didn't, let's say, formulate it properly in terms of Mishnah time, but it wasn't Ein Karma Lav, it wasn't Tai Kafel, whatever. So what happens then? So some Rishonim take the opinion that we're hardcore, you know, Mishpatei Tznayim, requisite, you know, is never something can be compromised. And it must be that in that case he really did formulate everything, you know, properly, every I dotted, every T crossed in the Mishpatei Tznayim sense. But the more standard view, at least in the Balei Tosas, is that in that circumstance, umdana helps. That happens to be a strong umdana, and it happens to be a situation where we're not going against the Tanai, we're not dropping the Tanai, we're just dropping the requirements of Mishpatei Tanai. And even then, there's a secondary machlokas Rishonim, is it only going to help you for the formulaic ones and the formulation ones, like Tanai Kafel, maybe Hein Kodem Lalav, if that really is just, you know, about the formula, or can it even help you, you know, on more substantive things like Tanai Maisa B'davar Echad? The more you think that umdana can help you, even in something like Tanai Maisa B'davar Echad, assuming that that is more substantive, as to with the relationship between the Tanai and the Maisa, and so on, the more umdana emerges, you know, is not something that can just, you know, fill in the blanks, that can technically replace Mishpatei Tznayim, but it's a factor in its own right. So that is one piece of background. Now again, you could go a little further with this, but if you go, you know, too much further, then you may end up, you know, losing any benefit for our sugya. That's what we have in mind in our sugya, is here's a case where the structure of the Tznayim, which is what he set up, you know, requires certain facts fall into place. But, you know, reading his mind, figuring out what his umdana is, you know, what role is that going to play? So what I just want to add is that if you go too far with this in the Mishpatei Tznayim part of it, you might end up saying, well, it's not just umdin daita, it's a kind of mekach tos. That's if it's so obvious that, you know, that no one is going to do this, or this is what he wants, and it's only under these conditions that he's going to do it. So, clearly this is a mekach tos, and mekach tos is not something which is acceptable. You're not going to create a mekach tos because of, you know, of the dinim of Mishpatei Tznayim. But if you go that far with it, then any situation where it's not a mekach tos, right, even though there's an umdana, right, you're possibly not going to have, you know, you're not going to be able to use this as a source, that umdana can affect, you know, the relationship between Tanai and Maisa. Okay, so that's in terms of that background. So those are the two pieces of background. So now when we come to try to figure out whether or not, you know, Ones is going to play a role, essentially we have two, broadly speaking, two perspectives. One is to work with this idea of umdana, to try to read his mind, and you know, to adjust that, you know, within the Tanai that he sets up. So even though he says imlo basi ad shloshim yom hareza migureshes, if we're reading his mind right, we think that, you know, he doesn't mean that, he never meant it, you know, it's as if he said to begin with, you know, chutz mi matzav, you know, where the gesher breaks down and I'm screaming, you know, kazidasai, or, you know, with the exclusion of the case where, you know, I die, you know, etc. Well, in the case it dies the other way. Okay. So that is one, that's one perspective. The other perspective is that umdana, or at least umdana in these contexts, doesn't have that kind of power, and that basically everything depends formalistically whether or not he's fulfilled his tanai or not. And if that's the case, that brings you to the issue of also needing to define the impact of ones. Right? We know that ones on the level of onshim is an effective heter, right? Onar l'sasa davar, and you know, we don't implement onshim almost in all cases when there's an ones. Discuss an exception or two in a couple of minutes. But the question is, if we're not talking about onshim, but we're talking about the hagdara of maisim, right, you set up a certain structure, and we're trying to figure out whether there's a kiyum maisa or a bitul maisa, etc. What do we say about ones under those conditions? That's not umdana and not onesh, but just technically. And we could formulate that as you just have to be careful about its use in the Yerushalmi and in other mefarshim. We could formulate that in terms of the question whether onus is kiman d'avid, right, or onus is kiman d'bitel, or onus is kiman d'lo avid, etc. Right, an act in our sugya we're talking about kiyum atnai ba'ones is kiyum atnai ba'ones shmei kiyum atnai. But if that's what we're talking about, so then we might have a very different perspective on a different question, and that is. Not kiyum atnai ba'ones, but lo kiyum atnai ba'ones. Lo kiyum atnai ba'ones, is that considered kiyum atnai? There already you can't translate it formalistically into ones kaman, right, da'avid, ones kaman da'lo'avid. On the other hand, the question is, we'll see this in a moment, let's say, whenever you have a kiyum atnai ba'ones, the question is, or let's say you have an e-kiyum atnai, Biglal ones, right? Could you ask a different question, and that is, okay, maybe e kiyum atnai ba'ones lo shma kiyum atnai, but maybe that isn't the point anymore. Maybe the real point is whether or not there's bitul atnai. In other words, in general, when we talk about the relationship between a tnai and a maisa, right, to what extent do you need kiyum atnai, or is it sufficient that there simply not be bitul atnai? And in that question, I know I'm asking a lot of theoretical questions. We're going to concretize them in a couple of minutes. And as far as that question is concerned, does it really matter how you formulate the tanai or what the objective relationships are, right? Or is this a question, across the board? In other words, whether or not I can substitute e kiyum atnai for bitul atnai, like every e kiyum atnai means you didn't, let me make it clear, you didn't do the actions that are required according to what you in advance set up about this maisa. Right. So what I'm asking is that what's important? You need kiyum atnai, and e-kiyum atnai is important because you don't have kiyum atnai. Or is really the emphasis in every tanai not so much the kiyum and e-kiyum, but the bitul or the e-bitul? I say, if I do X, then I want Y to happen. So everything focuses on whether you did X, or whether or not you were mevatel X. So again, you might ask, so that seems quite perverse. I mean, a guy set up a condition, and especially since the Mishpatei Tanoim themselves say hein kodem lalav, so, why would anybody ever want to translate what seems objectively to be a positive requirement, a positive prerequisite, into a question whether it's considered to be a bitul or not? So that goes back to the question of how Mishpatei Tanoim really work. Okay, so that's what I want to talk about in just a couple of minutes. So first, just to get the cases a little more concrete and to register a little bit, and then we'll go back and analyze them in more detail. As we've noted, our sugya is im lo basi harezeget. So that is kiyum hatnai al yidei ones, and we want to know, he did it, objectively he did it, and we want to know, legally, is kiyum hatnai al yidei ones shmo kiyum hatnai. The opposite case, namely the case of e-kiyum hatnai al yidei ones, the reason that he wasn't able to fulfill his tithe is because of an ones, that appears not in the Bavli, right, Yosef, but in the
I'm gonna guess
Yerushalmi. Nice, good work. Or I could say just cool. But is it true or not?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
You didn't see it yet? Okay. That's an honest answer, right? Let's see. So who saw it? I assume everybody saw it. I would say everybody. I mean, if you also didn't see it, that probably means a lot of people didn't see it. Jonathan.
I didn't see it either.
Oh, okay. And you're not just supporting Yosef. Okay. Gabe?
Shami talks about Shmai Bikidushin.
Correct. So the Yerushalmi in Gittin and Kiddushin, and it's quoted by the Ran in Kiddushin. Again, we're going to zero in exactly on the formulations a little bit later on. I'm trying to use this all as background, but I want to concretize the cases a little bit. So what's the Tanai there? What happens?
If you're Mekadesh al Tanai and you aren't able to fill the Tanai in the Kodesh,
are they Chal or are they not Chal? Yeah. In other words, instead of Im lo basi areza get, he says, Im basi, let's say, areza kid, Im basi ad yom ploni, areza kiddush. If I show up, before the prices change, for the halls, then we're going to get married. Okay? Right? That's what he says. And then he doesn't make it, because again, the bridge falls down, and he might still be screaming, Chazidasai, Chazidasai. Right? But he's not there. So it's an ikiyum atnai biglal ha ones. And what does the what is the debate? This is a machlokas between no less than Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. You can't do much better than that, right? So what does Rabbi Yochanan say? Kiddushin is chal or not chal? What? Maybe even Machlokas Rishonim. Yeah. Okay. Let's take the Ran's reading first, the way the Ran reads it, or the simple reading of the Yerushalmi.
Simple reading of the Yerushalmi is that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not chal, according to Reish Lakish.
Okay. So Rabbi Yochanan says it's not chal, and the language. Did he have the language? And he uses an expression which is very important, but we'll see that some other Rishonim and. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly correct. So how does it go? Right, Rabbi Yochanan used the expression. Yeah, I wrote it down here. Right, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Onus command the lo avad." Okay. What? Onus command the avad. So when you read the Yerushalmi, you get really excited, right? Because wow, this is it, right? These lashonos are just through the roof. They're important. Question is, what do they really, really mean? Okay. So according to the simple reading, and this is the way the Ran understood it as well, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that ones, right, which prevents you from being mekayim the tnai, right, doesn't is no excuse. You haven't been fulfilled the tnai because ones is command delo ovid. So the Pashtus is, we'll see if there's another way to interpret it, even according to this reading. So what that means is, if you didn't fulfill a Tanai because of an onus, you still did not fulfill the Tanai. Right? So it's that's how we, the Pashtus are going to read it. If you took it out of context, you might have read it a different way. Right? How could you have read it a different way, Gabe? No. We'll get to that. Then we'll discuss that part. But I mean, the words, onus keman de lo avad, if you just took it out of context and you didn't know that this was the case, and if we take it, maybe in the other direction, according to other Rishonim, Jonah?
I'd say that it's as if you didn't do it.
Meaning in which case? Not in this case, but in another case. Let's take our Bavli. Let's say somebody's. Let's take the case that we're dealing with in the Bavli, which is you have kiyum atnai al yedei ones, right? And if I said to you, ones keman delo avid, what would it mean? It would mean maisa ones lo maisa, which is done by ones lo shma maisa, and therefore even though the kiyum atnai is done al yedei ones, it could be a great explanation for our sugya, but in a very fundamental way, not through umdana at all. I would just say kiyum atnai ba'ones lo shmei. You need kiyum atnai. The kiyum atnai is ba'ones. Legally, that's not his action. Ones keman, right? De lo avad. I'm just trying. That's the complexity here. But for Rabbi Yochanan, according to the the Ran's understanding and reading and so on, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean a maisa shenasa ba'ones lo shma maisa. It means the opposite. It means, at least structurally, it means the opposite, right? Kishelo kiyam maisa biglal ones ein ze nechshav ki'ilu kiyam. Right? Okay. Is this the same as saying bitul, right? Beones, is this the same as saying bitul beones haba bitul? Yeah, I guess so. Right? That's it's onus commandalo abid here. Doesn't fit in to explain the formalistic part. He's just explaining, you know, it's better almost if you say onus, you don't do something by onus because of an onus, doesn't mean you did it. Right? Similar, by the way, to the Lashonos or the language or the formulation of the Ritva, right, in our Sugya. Right? Our Sugya, the Ritva says what? Gabe saw it? Yeah, he says exactly the thing. He says, our case in the Babli is imlo basi arezaget, and therefore, right, there's something to talk about here. But if it had been im basi harezaget, right, and he was loba machmas haones, no one's going to say that loba machmas haones harehu kimi sheba. Right, that's the Ritva's comment. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yochanan. What about Reish Lakish? So Reish Lakish says, ones is keman the Avad, right? But he's trying to explain, according to the Ran's reading, certainly the Yerushalmi, that what really happens, the guy doesn't come, he doesn't fulfill his tie because of an ones, right? Nonetheless, the Kiddushin is Chal. Exactly what the Ritva says can't be, right? And presumably Rabbi Yochanan also doesn't think can be. And then the language of the Yerushalmi is, because Reish Lakish holds, that ones is keman the Avad. Now again, I'm just repeating the same thing, but it's just a different permutation. If we had said onus kamanda avid in the case of our Babli, right, what we would mean would be, right, you were mekayim the tnai bonus, right, who cares? In the end of the day, you were mekayim the tnai, right? But that's not what it means for Reish Lakish. Right, because for Reish Lakish, what we're really saying is he didn't mekayim the tnai because of an ones. Nonetheless, we impute it as if he did. Right, and that's the language of Reish Lakish: ones keman de ovid. But that is really hard to explain. Yeah.
We were saying how the alternate reading, not talking to the Yerushalmi, is like exciting because.
Yeah, the Reish Lakish is unbelievably exciting. Right. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan is not so exciting. 100%, I'm glad you said that. That's what the next thing I was going to say. Meaning Rabbi Yochanan loses a little bit of its, you know, it's less than, you know, it's still important. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan is basically saying, listen, you know, lo asa beglalones, lo shma asa. We all think that makes a lot of sense, right? Just because something makes a lot of sense doesn't mean it isn't important, by the way. Just, you know, it's just less challenging to understand. But as you're correctly pointing out, but Reish Lakish now turns into an amazing idea. Like, what does that even mean? You know, because Reish Lakish is saying that's not true. And he's using the expression, command of it. Okay, so that needs to be, does it help to speak in terms of bitul? What really happened here? It helps a little to speak in bitul, right? Let's say, you know, the question is, do we have the right to do this? In other words, instead of saying ikium, you know, ikium atnai, you know, was a result of an ones, and therefore shma kium, why not say it this way? The bitul hatnai here, right, was ba'ones. Right? And a bitul ba'ones is considered keman da'avid. Right, so that's another way of saying bitul ba'one. Again, linguistically, you have to turn things on its head a little bit, but not too much. What are we really saying? Bitul ba'onus lo shma bitul. Right, is that an acceptable way to formulate Reish Lakish? I'm just saying, what I'm saying is that there are two ways to look at Reish Lakish. One is e kium hatnai biglal ones shma kium hatnai, and the other one is bitul hatnai biglal ones lo shma bitul. That second one works much better if we're talking about the formalistic question, what impact can an act, ba'ones, have or not have? Right? Because in the world of actions, if you don't do something, you know, turning it into an action is basically impossible, right? Formalistically. I'll say it this way. If you want to take the view that e kiyum al yidei ones shma kiyum, then you pretty much, if you want to, like, that's what you want to formulate here, you pretty much have to say anyway that kiyum atnai isn't really an objective requirement. But you have to say something like, we really care about is the umdana. And all this question, right, really reduces to that. And that's what he means. I mean, don't worry about it. He can't really say that ikiyu matanai have a kiyu matanai, because he didn't do it. Right? With all the coercion, he still didn't do it. So what you really have to say, we don't care. Kiyu matanai can always be substituted for by umdanas. On the other hand, if we want to say that what Reish Lakish really means is, kiyu matanai is not koveya. What's really koveya is bitul atnai. You never need kiyum atnai, but not because everything is just pure umdana, but because kiyum atnai always legally gets translated into bitul atnai. Right? So when you have e kiyum atnai al yidei ones, what we're really saying is you have bitul atnai al yidei ones. And a bitul ba'ones, a maisa ba'ones, is not a maisa. Right. Again, turning around the meaning just a little bit, but not so bad. Onis, right, is keman. How does it go? For Reish Lakish?
Kamandavi.
Right. Meaning, the bitul ba'ones is not a bitul, therefore, in that sense, it's like you did it. Okay. But the problem with that interpretation, that makes it more accessible. The problem is the leap that you need to take, which is that when it comes to Tanayim, right, the kiyum is not what's important. It's always the bitul. And the question is, why should you ever say that? Right? Now, objectively, you know, if I ask you this question, when you set up a tanai, is it a kiyum or is it a bitul? Right? So I think most people would have answered me. I know what I would have answered. I would have said, well, maybe it depends on a bunch of things. There may be kiyum-oriented tanayim and bitul-oriented tanayim. Right? And as far as that is concerned, what are some of the factors that we might consider? Noam, what are some of the factors we might consider? I'm saying I'm trying to work with Reish Lakish here. We're trying to work hard for Reish Lakish, right? So I'm saying this idea that maybe, I'm saying there are two ways to read on Reish Lakish. One is, you know, an umdana, what he's saying is another way of saying you don't need kiyum atanai. We can read your mind. Reading your mind substitutes. Okay, that's an important perspective. Or, maybe what he's saying is, kiyum atnai gets translated legally into bitul atnai. And on a bitul atnai level, right, we can now talk about what the status of onus is. But, to do that, you have to take a leap. You have to assume that even though, you know, you seem to be talking about kiyum atnai, really we translate it always into bitul atnai. So what I'm asking is, in general, what would you think? Are tanayim bitul atnai or kiyum atnai? Or does it make a difference what the circumstances are? It's an abstract question, but okay, for example, what kind of circumstances would you think might matter? What was the first thing you said? Some forces? Excellent, exactly. You might say yesh v'yesh, and there are a bunch of things that define it. Sometimes you set things up in such a way that basically you're trying to accomplish something. Right? And these are the conditions for its accomplishment. Other times you're doing something, you're saying, but you know what? You know, I want to put in an ikuv. Right? Now, instinctively, we know that is the case when you have tanayim. I basically agree, we're doing this, we're doing it but, or we're only doing it under these conditions. Now, the difference between a doing it but and only doing it under these conditions is a pretty subtle difference, you know. But it's also a clear difference. But the question is, how do you figure out, Right, when's an only under, and we're doing it but? How do you figure that out? So is it objectively the kind of thing that it is, and the relationship between the Tanai and the Maisa, is that what determines that? Is it the formulation, how you structure it, how you set it up? Is it a question of timing? I'm just throwing out a bunch of ideas, right? It has to do with reasonableness. It has to do with structure of the setup. What is it exactly? Relationship between Tanai and Maisa, how reasonable? Timing? Right? You say, im ovo, ad lamed yom, hariat mukudeshes. And if you said, im lo ovo, you're not mukudeshes, aren't you saying the same thing? Pretty much. But you might look at it as a very different emphasis. One is a kiyum atanai oriented transaction, the other is a bitul atanai, oriented action. Right? If I say me'achshav, let's say, harayat mukadesh say me'achshav, im or im lo. So you might say, everything is about tearing down this the action's done, and it's all about whether you're going to be mevatel, because time-wise, it's really chal immediately. It also depends how you understand the concept of the mafreya, right? Me'achshav. Is it retrospectively, or is it really, it's there, default until you tear it down, right? Or, you basically, the commitment to do an action, a certain kind of action, is such that it's just so compelling that you've agreed to it. Wow, you've agreed to that. Okay, you have a condition. Now, that's a bitul. But let's say the other way. It's all in the condition. No one's going to do that unless, it's worthwhile for them. I just gave you three, four examples. Does it depend on the way that you formulated it? Right? Does it depend on the timing of it? Whether we're talking about bitul ha'maisa or yitzira ha'maisa? Does it depend just on the reasonable, in terms of being a reasonable course of action, what the relationships are here? And there may be other factors. So you might say, there are kiyum tanais and there are bitul tanais. Right? For example, even in terms of, the if you look at the Ran and the continuation there in Kiddush, there's a big machlokas or rishonim there in Gittin, right? Default, what do you assume when something is in limbo because of a tanai? Right? Both in terms of safek and in terms of, whether you have to wait. Do you assume the Maisa is chal until you know that the Tanai, wasn't implemented? Or the opposite? Those could all be umdana issues, or they could be this question. To what extent, right, are you talking about something that exists but could be, yanked backward, that can be qualified? Or are you talking about the conditions for it to exist? There could be all sorts of factors. So when I say that, for Rish Lakish, maybe the point is that instead of looking at it as Kiyum atanai and ikiyum atanai, what we're really looking at is bitul atanai. Right? So you might have said, that's fine. It depends on the achshav, it depends on all these things. But maybe all these things really do play a role, according to some mahalchim and mefarshim. But maybe there's also a bigger objective question here. What do I mean by the bigger objective question? Tavya? What's the bigger objective question? Well, in addition to or instead of some of these factors, when we're dealing with a kiyum atanai, when are we dealing with a bitul atanai? What also could be something that objectifies this more and spreads this idea more? Yosef?
The ability to say something which won't necessarily transpire.
Say that again.
Oh, maybe.
I'm not following you. You might be right.
Whether you can say a legal statement which may not happen.
You mean whether you can create a chalos through a tanai in general?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean that I think that is part of it in a way. And as I mentioned to a couple people after last year, the whole idea of a tanai is not such a simple thing. We're about to get to that. I think you're in the right direction. The whole concept of tanaim is a you know, not such a davar pashut, as we'll see in a second. And in addition to that, there's also the relationship between three institutions in halakha. We're not going to pursue this right now, but it's good to know and think about. The relationship between three categories in halakha, which the Rishonim already discussed in great detail, and then the Achronim, which highlight this as well. They are Tanaim, right? Asmachtas, and Breira. Right? The Rishonim are bothered about the overlap between these three things. Why isn't every Breira just a Tanai, or every Tanai a Breira, or why isn't every Asmachta one of those two? The Ramban in particular, the Tosas already in Sanhedrin and other places get involved in this issue in the third parak, and the Ramban all over the place, and in Gittin, of course, in the third parak, in the Breira Sugya, Tola B'das Atzmo, Tola B'das Acherim, Guzma, all sorts of interesting issues. But part of that whole discussion, what's an Asmachta, what's Breira, what's a Tanai, does highlight that the whole concept of Tanai is not so simple to begin with, which I think is where you're going. Who said you can create such a thing? Let's add to that, before we go to our Makoros for today, something that we already discussed, right? Namely, in the beginning of the year, as part of one of the Hakdamas, right? Kol she'eshno b'shlichos, yeshno b'tanai, kol she'eino b'shlichos, eino b'tanai. Right? That's why Chalitza has no Tanaim. The Gemara asked the question about Kiddushei Biya. Right? The Achronim discussed the problem of Nisuin. Right? So we already noted the comment of the Balei Tosas on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph in Ksuvos, who say, well, where does this come from? Kol she'eshno b'shlichos, yeshno b'tanai. Kol she'eino b'shlichos, eino b'tanai. Why? Right, because in Bnei Gad or Bnei Ruvain happened to be Yeshno B'Shlichos, right? And does it depend whether or not it was a Tavua bearing karka or land, or it was raining that day, or 100 other trivial factors or facts, I should say, which aren't factors, right? So Tosa says no. The idea of Kol She'eshno B'Shlichos Yeshno B'Tanai is very logical, very compelling. The idea is that when you try to impose a Tanai, you're trying to really redefine, right, an action. Right? Because what you're saying is, because you might have thought, or you might have taken the position legally as saying that, by the way, if anybody has to go because of class or whatever, it's my fault that I'm late, so, whatever. But if you can stay a few more minutes, we won't go too long, but I just want to at least get this Tanai part in. Because I want to make progress. So one could have said that, there's no such thing as a Tanai. Either you take something or you leave it. Now, do you want to make a transaction? Yes or no? If you also want to get $100, so fine, but you can't condition one on the other because they're not, technically linked or objectively linked in the halacha. And therefore, you just, it's either yes or no, and, make a side deal if you want, but it's not going to affect the deal itself. Right? What we're being told is, says Tosas, that you have enough jurisdiction, if you have jurisdiction enough to impose your will, right, to do this Aydei Shliach, if it's not a Maisa, the Mimela, a Davar Shebegufo, it's the kind of jurisdictional action, it's something where authorization makes sense, then it's also the kind of thing where you can redefine it or manipulate it. That's a statement in Balei Tosas that says that Tanaim, right, and some of the Mishpatei Tanaim, right, reflect that what's happening in a Tanai is some legal status. Okay, so let's take it a step further. Once that is the case, the question is, how do we understand what that legal status is? But before you get to Tanai, we understand that there's something called a Maisa Kinyan, and we also understand that there's something called Das in the Kinyan. Right? Once you've injected Tanai and the world of Tanaim into this whole constellation, the question is, well, how is it all happening? Is this all part of the Das now? Right? I do want to buy your field or sell you my cow, right? But instead of saying I want it, I don't want it. That's not just some thresholds are a little more complex. I want it under the following conditions. So the Tanai becomes part of the Das. That's one way to look at it. Right? The other way to look at it is, that no, the Tanai doesn't become part of the Das because Das on the transaction is not the same as Das on the Tanai. Right? So the Tanai is some sort of an extraneous imposed link, which is Ma'akev, even though it isn't really Alpidin considered to be Das on the transaction. Right? Except that then you wonder, well, who said you can do that? That's building up the Chiddush HaTorah of Tanoim. That's what we sometimes call, based on the language of the Gemara in Ksuvos, but expands significantly, the idea of Tanai Milsa Achriti. Meaning the Tanai isn't, at least initially, part of the Hagdara of Das on the Kinyan. Right? It is a linkage that can bring it down, or that can determine whether it'll happen in some cases, we'll see in a moment. And but that is an artificial connection, and it's an artificial impact based on the Chiddush HaTorah of Mishpatei Tanoim. Right? That's the mentality which informs the perspective of Sevar Rishon. For example, Tosas and Ksuvis, Handaf Nun Vav Omid Aleph. Okay, Yonatan, what is that? What is Tosas and Ksuvis? Tell us. Right, Harezu Mekudeshe Sutanai Batel. That's the Sher Ksus. We had this earlier in the year because we, when in our Ksuvah D'Oraisa, our bottom topic, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir, right? The Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir about, you know, Kol Pochis Lebsulim Asayim Ulamana Mimana Reza. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and the Gemara says that it depends on two things: one, Ksuvah D'Oraisa Rabbanan; two, Masa Masha Kasa B'Torah B'Tanai Davar Shebamamon, whether it's Kayam or not. Right, and that's where the Gemara quotes: Harayat Mekudeshesli Al Menas She'en Lachalai Sher Ksus V'Ona. That you have Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, correct?
Yeah.
And then we talked about Ona, fine. And we talked about the Rambam Shita about Ksuvah, correct? Good.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's this famous Tosas here. What is supposed to say at the beginning? Al Korchach.
I don't remember ever seeing it.
Didn't I sign this?
You may have signed it, I just made it. I didn't,
oh, you didn't get to it yet?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought I was behind. Isaac, saw it?
Yeah.
Good. So go ahead.
Did you read it?
Yeah.
I read the Amr of the Law.
So what's he saying? Obviously you need Tanai Kafel here, because otherwise the focus wouldn't be on Masa Kasa B'Torah B'Tanai Davar Shebamamam. Right? So, I mean, Tanai Kafel would bring this down. Wow. Meaning, okay, I mean, I don't have to be more wow in Tosis. You might just read the next line. They say wow. Okay, the Tema. Yeah. Meaning, Isaac, just.
Meaning the Tanai itself is formulating that if.
Seemingly.
If there is Shekhs, then she's not Kudeshes.
Meaning, the guy says to him, listen, I'd love to marry you.
Okay.
Right? But I don't want to be responsible for Sher Ksus V'Ona, so I'm only going to marry you if I don't have to pay Sher Ksus V'Ona. So the Torah is telling us that if you hold Masa Masha Kosa B'Torah B'Tanai Davar Shebamamon, it would be reasonable if the Torah then said what? Then we wouldn't have a Tema. The Torah said, you know what? Sher Ksus V'Ona is definitional. You cannot have an Ishus. It's Chatzi Ishus. And there's no Chatzi Ishus. Either you're going to Sher Ksus V'Ona, or there's no Kiddushin. If the Torah said that, nobody would be saying the Tema. Right? What's the Tema is that the halacha really is, according to Mandamar, that Tanai Batel, is Tanai Batel Maisa Kayam. So the poor guy, he spilled out his heart. You know, he, you know, it took him, you know, tremendous you know, amount of humility to admit that, you know, either he didn't love her enough to support her, or that he's so poor that he can't, you know, and he put himself out there one way or another, right? So instead of saying, sorry, not good enough, that would have been fine. That would have been a little tragic, but we'd get over that. Instead, what we're saying is, he's mekudeshes. And then he has to pay the Sher Ksus V'Ona. Right? That's amazing. That's what bothers Tosis. Go ahead. Vein lecho. Oh, so you might at least look some sort of a mechanism, right? So it's all kind of this implicit thing. You know, okay, I mean, even that is kind of not what he signed up for, but you'll say, oh, you know what? He put this thing, he said, he put the structure in place, and there's a technical, you know, glitz, you know, so it doesn't work, so poor guy, you know, haha, he's stuck with the consequences. Okay, but it's a mechanism at least, right? It's interesting. Yeah, so it's not even that. Even that itself would be a chiddush, but okay. Right? A deal gone bad. But, you know, he set it up, so it's his responsibility to see that it can work. And this doesn't work, so tough luck. I don't know what to say, stop the sadeu, right? But maybe. Okay. Vilmarie. So this is a big, big yisod. So what is it in a word? Mishpatei Tznayim. What's that? Chiddushu shechidsha Torah, right? And therefore, ein lecha bo ela chiddushu. Now, why is it chiddushu shechidsha Torah? Right? It's just the guy, it's only worth it for him to do it under these conditions. It's what we said before. Meaning, sometimes, you know, the assumption seems to be, at least initially, that these that's not part of the das. Unless the umdan of the muchach is so strong, like we said in the other cases, that's why I started with that. Amnas lemesak l'arad Yisrael, so it's not the dvarim shebelev, or it's either it's not dvarim shebelev or it's mekach tos, and if it's because it's not dvarim shebelev, so does it only help you for, you know, the more formulaic ones like, you know, Tanai Kafel, etc., or even on the substantive ones. Wow, okay. But that aside, right, you have to pick and choose. If you want this transaction, you know, this is the das that goes with it. This thing here is extraneous. Now, what's not clear in Tosis is what happens once you implement with Mishpatei Tznayim, right? What can happen with your mechazek? What happens? So here there can be, if you ask me, three possibilities. Right? One is that you could say, well, if you're mechazek with Mishpatei Tznayim, that's the Chiddush HaTorah too, that you could take what is an extraneous das and you can integrate it into the real das. So now it becomes the das on the kinyan, as long as you have Mishpatei Tznayim. Right? And, okay, that's one possibility. The other possibility is that the Chiddush Shechidsha Torah reigns supreme not only when you don't do things properly, but even when you do things properly. Tznai remains Milsach Riti. It can drag it down as an extraneous, you know, linked item, but it's important always to understand that it's linked and it's extraneous. It remains linked and it remains extraneous. If you say that, so maybe there are other ways, there are other consequences of this, including perhaps what we were talking about a couple of seconds ago, not necessarily at all, but maybe, meaning, when we look at conditions for a maisa, right, kiyum atnai, which is the conditions for implementing a maisa, so is it kiyum atnai, or is it really, you know, another way of saying bitul atnai? Right? The more you look at Mishpatei Tznayim or the conditions that you made as part of the das, right, the easier it is to say, well, that's also Kiyum HaTanai. Kiyum HaTanai, Kiyum HaMaisa. It's all very positive. But if it wasn't just extraneous without Mishpatei Tznayim, but it remains extraneous, right, it works despite the fact, or basically, you know, on the basis of it being extraneous, you at least might consider the possibility that there's no such thing as kiyum atnai in a positive way. You may formulate it that way, and that might determine how you define the conditions of bitul, but really what we're talking always about al pi din is bitul atnai. Because what we're always saying is you have das on the maisa. You know, if you had made one error, if you didn't dot your I's and cross your T's, I'm really saying it so well lately, right? For years, I just couldn't get that. I was dyslexic in my verbalizing of that. And the last three or four times, it's really been good. So, you did that. So, you know, that's not lack of, you know, we're not talking about lack of ki matanai. We're talking about whether you know, have the conditions to be mevatel the maisa. Bitul. That affects how the onus issue as well. I think there's a third possibility, I say that also, and that is that what the tanai does is it kind of fuses the tanai and the maisa. And when it does that, it creates, you know, what I would call a hyphenation between them. It doesn't mean that the tanai, that it doesn't, in other words, alter that the das ala tanai is das ala tanai and not das ala maisa. But sof by operating properly with mishpatei tanoim, what you've done is you've linked these two things together, right? And by doing that, you have integrated them and fused them. So the das, it's now, you know, a dual maisa and a dual das on the dual maisa, right? There's the maisa and the tanai. They become all one. You draw a big circle around the whole thing. It's a package deal. And the fact that this is the das, you know, for the maisa part, becomes part of the das. Not because by being mechazek the tanai, you know, you're able to elevate it to being das on the maisa. But because the mice and the tanai become one and the same. So what happens indeed, right, in a situation where either you can substitute other things for mishpatei tanoim, right, or when you have mishpatei tanoim, but you have some sort of issues and some sort of pressure. So this idea of the tanai milsa achriti, I should just add, is also expressed very, very forcefully by the Tshuvas HaRash. Avra saw the Tshuvas HaRash? You get a chance to see the Tshuvas HaRash? How many people saw the Tshuvas HaRash? Nobody saw the Tshuvas HaRash. It's too good, you know, for you not to have seen it in advance. How many people saw the Ravid and the Rambam, the Ravid and Zechiya Matana and... I'm ahead of everybody. Oh, okay. I'm not happy about it. Okay, so I'm going to leave. I want to finish up Tvai Milsa Achriti, the Makoros that I gave you, because it's very crucial, and then to apply them to what we're discussing, whether we're dealing with Kiyama Tanai, Bitala Tanai, what is Onus Command Avid. The other side of it, of course, is to try to figure out whether maybe that everything isn't just Umdana, right? Because, you know, the whole connection to Tanai is based on Umdana. Okay. Basically, the three positions that I've outlined, they're very helpful for other dinei mishpatei tanoim too. For example, I mean, just understanding what some of them are, right? Tanai kofel is clearly a formulation requirement. Hein kodem lav isn't necessarily only a formulation issue. But for instance, Machokas and the Rambam and the Ravid, whether hein kodem lav is just about the nisuach ha-tanai, or it's about the order of the tanai and the maisa. That's a debate between the Rambam and Ravid in Parakei Hilchos Ishus. Similarly, even if it's in the formulation, it may point to exactly what we're talking about. Are we dealing with Kiyumim or Bitulim? Right. Similarly, again, I don't intend to pursue Mishpatei Tanoim beyond this right now, because we're not turning the third parak of Kiddushin or the seventh parak of Gittin. But just be aware, in general, Tanayim Maisa B'davar Echad. Right? Also, what is that all about? Is that just... you know, technicality, it's exeris akasum, probably has a lot to do with exactly what we're talking about. What is the relationship between a tanai, right, and the maisa? And if the tanai needs to be extraneous, right, for it to operate, you know, effectively, then you understand why you can't have tanai maisa. It clouds the issue, it confuses things, you know, when it's tanai maisa b'davar echad. Okay, anyways, so what I want to discuss, I want to pick up with this tomorrow, the Tshuvas HaRash, what else I give you? The Ravid, of course, about the distinction between Iser and Mamon. Briefly, just to discuss the Rambam and Ravid and Rajba about dropping Tanayim in the area of Dama Shebe'erva and the requirement of Beidei Kiyum. Right, just to highlight it very quickly. Whatever else I gave you, I don't remember, what else did I give you? Did I give you the Rashi and Shavuos I gave you to look at with Rabbi Kivager? Okay. Did I give you the Meiri and Kiddushin? Daf Ches? Okay, you don't have to do that one. Harat Mukadashasli Bedinar. I'm sorry. Harat Mukadashasli Bemana. The Nasan Ladinar. Who learned Kiddushin recently? Oh, the Haratzion people last year learned Kiddushin, right?
Yeah.
Last year, though, not anybody was there, right? Okay, so from the beginning, when I was around, they were learning the second parak. Did they learn the start from the first parak?
We did, yeah.
Did you do Daf Ches?
Yes.
Okay, so I read Mekudesh Asli B'mana. Jonah, go ahead. Right. Shai is enjoying this very much, right? Between you and Shai, we have Yatzav Ahaysa. So, I read Mekudesh Asli B'mana, V'nasan L'dinar, right, Daf Ches? Areza Mukadesh as Vyashlin. Okay. I didn't learn it last year. This is, goes back to like ninth grade for me. No, I've seen it since. But right? So it's a very forceful the Miri has an interesting discussion there. It's a very forceful line in the Gemara, right? That's what some Rishonim say. What do you mean? Areza Mukadesh as Leib Mana, Vanasan Ladinar. If he gives the dinar, and if he gives the rest of the mana, the kedusha will be chal. Right? And if not, then it won't be chal. It sounds like an imperative. He's got to do it. Okay. So the Miri discusses, is that really true or not? Right. Similarly, I'll just tell you the Rashi and Shavuos, and then we'll stop here. Because that's also just the same idea, basically. It relates to what we talked about a second ago. Rashi says in Shavuos that amein, when you say the word amein, right, bo shvua, bo kabbalas dvarim, I may be getting the order wrong, bo amonas dvarim. Right? Right? No one saw it? Or they did see it? Hanan, looks like you saw it. Or you're just acknowledging that we gave it. Yeah. So bo shvua, bo kabbalas dvarim, bo amonas dvarim. So what is bo kabbalas dvarim? So Rashi there says that what it means is, anybody have it? No? All the, right? You know, I was trying to convince some of the, you know, yeshivot in Eretz Yisrael that they should be welcoming to the, you know, have computers in the base medrash. So I said, you should come to my shir sometime before I have the words out of my mouth. You know, it's already on the, so we have to, you know. Got it, Yakir? No, it's bo Brash's bo kabbalas dvarim means that he's mekabel etnai, and therefore you have to fulfill it. Oh, you have a gemara with you, Shavuos. Paper gemara. Wow.
What?
Paper back gemara. That's, I like that.
It's very useful.
It's on the board.
There it is. See. Go ahead.
It started first.
So that's where I just wanted to see Rabbi Kivager's comment. Did you have the Rabbi Kivager there? That probably doesn't show up in the computer, right? For that you need Jesse's blog.
I got that. I went.
You got it? Gilina Shas. What is Rabbi Kivager saying? Yeah. So Rabbi Kivager says, what do you mean Chayiv L'Kayim Tanoi? What was the language again? Back here? Chayiv L'Kayim Tanoi, right?
Yeah.
If he says Amen, Chayiv L'Kayim Tanoi. So Rabbi Kivager says, that's not true. It just means that he set it up. There's a linkage. You know, if you do one, then the other one happens. But there's no obligation. That's why I was talking about the Miri. Same discussion in a way. Right? Harezim Mekudeshes V'Yashlim. He means what? Imu Yashlim, Harezim Mekudeshes. So again, is it just talking about the timing? Meaning the assumption can be that it goes forward until you. Of course, no one is suggesting that there's no possibility of Beetle. But with both the Rashi and some of the other Rishonim and Kedushin, and there are other places too, what they're really kind of getting at is under these conditions, do we assume the mice is basically chal? You know, and the and but you could undermine it. You could undermine it. But that would be the initiative at this point. The default is, and therefore even kind of, you know, morally, if you will, you know, the you know, you've kind of signed on here. You'd be backing out if you use the Tanai. That's what they mean, chayev. Rashi doesn't deny what Rabbi Kivager says. And the Rishonim that the Miri is quoting also, you know, even if the language of the imperative language is interesting, no one is suggesting that, you know, bal korcha, you have to do it. What they're saying is, you know, you're backing out, you're a welcher. Okay. I don't mean the last name, you know, we had a wonderful Talmud once named Welcher, Mayor Welcher, special Talmud. But, you know, I mean, you know, you are involved in welching, you know, out of your obligation. Right, so what in welching, we just set it up. If I do it, I do it. If I don't do it, I don't do it. Right, that's an interesting question. So does it depend? Again, just put the next run in Kedusha there. And, you know, if there's a suffolk, whether the Tanai was implemented, what do we assume? And, you know, do you begin, but, you know, you undermine later, or do you wait it out? All these questions have to do with the question, you know, fundamentally, you know, have you basically signed on, but meaning there's a capability of bitalatnai, or you need kiyamatnai to make this thing? Now, if it's a condition in the das, it can go either way still. But you know, you're gonna be more inclined, or you're gonna see this whole problem one way. If you see it as an extraneous linkage which can pull the thing down, but it never ever had anything to do with the real maisa. Right, then it's always a kind of a bittul. That doesn't mean that it'll translate into what I'm suggesting for, you know, for Reish Lakish or for some of the other Rishonim here. But it doesn't take much to do that anymore, because every kiyamatnai really is just the possibility of bittul atnai. If you look at it in the bigger picture of the there's already das. Okay, so that's what I want to finish up tomorrow. I want to finish up. You know, and if it is formalistic, what role does onus play? The other view, who is the other view aside from the Ran on this whole matter? We mentioned there's a Rishonim. Which Rishonim? Agos Maimuni, correct. In Nukhas Sanhedrin. So we have to look at that. And then some of the Achronim as well. And hopefully we'll, you know, finish up tomorrow if we can. Okay. Sorry for being late again, but glad we got this. Oh, did I give the onus ones first?
Yeah.
Okay, I apologize. Okay, so well, by tomorrow we'll do the book.